Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions, proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA, and Kia, the Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Yes, a very good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sports Day WA. Great to have your company. Can I also thank Toolmart, the Complete Tool Centre, who have been serving WA for over 45 years, for being also a naming rights sponsor of this program. Now, just letting you know, tomorrow I'll be on early between 2 and 3. So put it down in your diary, 2 to 3 tomorrow, it'll be Sports Day WA because we've got an Anzac Day Eve match, haven't we, tomorrow night. And SEN will bring it to you from 5 o'clock. That's confirmation. 2 to 3, Sports Day WA. 3 to 5, the run home. And then AFL action here on the SEN network. I bumped into someone actually here at Optus Stadium. And I know him from a past life, the television world. And he said, Pete, I listen to SEN. I think it's an outstanding broadcaster. And of course, he's a big sportsman. And he said, what you guys are doing, you're doing it really well. So thanks very much to Josh for his nice comments regarding the SEN platform. Now, Jesse Hogan's charge, and this is the update for Apple iSports, for the fans. The hot topic is the tribunal. Tom Barras will be up tomorrow, as we know, from the West Coast Eagles because they're so busy tonight. Jesse Hogan's charge has been thrown out and he's free to play against Brisbane. Does the mind boggle? Whether that the fact that he's been allowed to play against Brisbane this week. Every week, there is mass confusion regarding the decisions that have been made by the match review officer and also the tribunal. It is so scatterbrainish, it's very hard to actually fathom. Toby Green is fronting the AFL tribunal right now. And as I mentioned, Tom Barras from the West Coast Eagles, the defender, will be up again tomorrow, trying to overturn that one-match ban that he got for that tackle on Michael Walters in the Derby on Saturday night. That's all for Apple iSports, your one-stop shop for all things sorted. Now, what's been breaking just before the start of Sports Day WA regarding Harley Reid? Tom Morris from the SEN Network and also from Network 9 has tweeted that it appears that Harley Reid, after his incredible run of 6 weeks, is likely to be rested. There's no injury, but likely to be rested for the match against the Gold Coast Suns up there at Metricon on Sunday. Now, a lot of people are flabbergasted that this is happening, but I must admit, the West Coast Eagles coach, Adam Simpson, as early as the first week of February, came out and declared that it was unlikely that the talented teenager would play every game this year as the club would manage his workload through his debut season. Simpson did acknowledge that his combative style, and we've seen that on show in the first few weeks, as a contested ball winner, meant the Eagles would have to manage him both by introducing him to the top level, maybe as a halfback, and looking to rest him through the season where needed. So if Tom Morris's comment is correct on social media that Harley Reid will be rested this week, it's not going in the face of what was mentioned a good month before the season started, that the West Coast Eagles would manage their prized number one draft pick. And after 6 weeks, and after all the euphoria and the accolades and the superlatives and the attention that the 19-year-old has had, maybe it's time to call the farm. And maybe it's time just to take it a bit easy and let him stay in Perth, let the rest of the team travel to the Gold Coast and get him ready for the next home game. So, love to hear from you on the text machine, 0487 736 736. That's 0487 736 736. In fact, Caroline Wilson was amazing on Footy Classified. She reckons that Harley Reid might single-handedly have saved Adam Simpson's job.
Well, Chris Judd, his predecessor at West Coast, played the best first 100 games I can remember, Tony. But Chris Judd didn't come in with the hype. He didn't have the attitude. He didn't have the sass. He came into a very good, strong West Coast Eagles team. This kid has come into a team that was on its knees. The coach was, let's face it, facing the sack. He could be single-handedly lifting the West Coast into the middle of the ladder this year, single-handedly saving Adam Simpson's job.
So there you go. That's Caroline Wilson. So give us your thoughts on all this. Are you quite comfortable, West Coast Eagles fans, for Harley to be rested this week? No doubt it takes a lot away from the West Coast Eagles' chances to possibly beat the Gold Coast Suns away from home. Are you comfortable that that's the tack to take heading into round seven? Or do you think because of the momentum that he's created over the last couple of weeks in particular, that because he's going so well, they should take him and maybe rest him in a week or two and see if the West Coast Eagles can pinch another win and make it three on end against the Gold Coast Suns? Because on the basis of what we saw last Saturday night, it's not out in the realms of possibility that they can maybe beat the Suns. But we'll have to wait and see. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Get on the text machine, 0487 736 736. Just also confirming that Adam Simpson mentioned this in the first week of February, that he's unlikely to play every game and the club would manage his workload. Has his workload got to a level where he needs now to have a bit of a breather in the first quarter of this AFL season? Where's Ruben Jimby's rest, or is he not as valued at the club? That's Simon from Claremont. So Ruben Jimby continues to play week in, week out. 0487 736 736. Well, joining us on the program now, ahead of the Suns game, is a man that really, in his fifth season of AFL football, is showing that he belongs. And I'll throw that to him in a moment. But joining us is Bailey J. Williams from the West Coast Eagles. Bailey, thanks for your time.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, good to be here.
Now, I've got to ask you a question. You may not want to answer it, okay? But there's a lot of people like Jay-Z. We don't know what Z stands for. There is Michael J. Fox. We don't know what J stands for in his name, that initial. I don't know what J stands for in your name. Can you disclose it, or is it a bit of a like a pop performer where it's very secretive?
No, mate, I'm happy to disclose this. Yes, no, it's just my middle name. So Jai. There's another Bailey Williams in the league. So for whatever reason, they've added the J in the record. So I'm happy to roll with it though.
So it's Jai. What J-Y?
J-A-I.
Oh, J-A-I. There you go. That is a first, Bailey. That is a first because everywhere I've looked, all they've got is your initial of J. So there you go. Yeah. There's a bit of a big story. It might be the back page of the West Australian tomorrow.
Fun fact.
Terry, you'll have to knock Harley Reid off the back page. He's been there for about 35,000 times. Can you believe the euphoria around him?
Mate, I think he deserves all the hype. I think it is crazy the amount of attention that he is getting, but I mean, he deserves it all, but you can't help but feel for him when he's on the back page every week.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? We're going to talk about you in a moment, but what's he been like around the club? Has he a few players taking the mickey out of him?
No, mate, we try not to. He's a ripping bloke. He's been really good around the footy club, mate, and we're just here to support him. So, we're not taking the piss or anything. He's been good.
You've been good as well. I tell you what, Scotty Cummings is part of our broadcast team. He loves the way you play footy. After all, you had a pretty good 2023. You finished sixth in the John Worsfold medal count, and you're an emerging talent. But it is your fifth season of AFL action at the West Coast Eagles, and it looks like now that you belong. Do you feel that?
Yeah, definitely. Like I was happy with my season last year and got a lot of games under my belt. I was able to play every game and now coming into this season, I feel good. I turned 24 the other day, so I'm still coming into my prime as a ruckman. I'm still probably on the younger end of things. But I'm starting to feel really good and confident in my body, mate, and it's been enjoyable to get a couple wins.
It's interesting, actually. I just noted that you turned 24 the other day. You share your birth date with the man that we've been talking about, Harley Reid.
With none other than Harley Reid, yes.
Did they bring the two birthday cakes in at the club?
Yeah, no, it was a bit flat, mate. We didn't get a birthday cake, so that wouldn't go too well with the skin fold.
Fair enough. Well, originally you featured in the Ingles lineup as a backup ruckman behind Nick Natanui, the big athletic big man. Of course, he's retired, and all of a sudden, for a bit of cover for you, that is the club recruited former GWS ruckman Matt Flynn, and he went down, so it's been left to yourself. Have you enjoyed the added responsibility again in 2024?
Yeah, I have, mate. Like, obviously not ideal. I'd love for Flinny to be up and going and playing alongside each other, but, mate, it is what it is. And, you know, as you said, I've done it before, so, you know, that's just the way things went, and I'm happy just to be playing footy.
You seem to like to take a mark, and you took an absolute beauty last week against Fremantle, and you've taken a few speckies in your time. We like the play. You're certainly an aggressive footballer. You play it with passion, and you're not too scared to throw a bit of caution to the wind, like going for a big mark like you did on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's. I think it's one of the good parts of the game, and it's always been something I've liked to do, throw myself at the ball and my aerial marking. It's, you know, I've got a forward background, and I like to play a little forward. So I guess that's just one of my strengths, is flying at the footy, and I'm glad that they're starting to stick. So, yeah.
Let's go back to last Saturday night. Is it now a thing of the past, or are you still talking about it inside the club walls as you look ahead to a game against the Suns on Sunday?
Nah, yeah, we're pretty good at moving on. You know, as you know, the weeks go by pretty quick, and, you know, we can't, you know, we're not doing laps of honour and all that stuff. We enjoy the win, and then we've got a big task against Gold Coast, so we're pretty quick to move on. But there's certainly a good feeling around the footy club, but we're trying to stay humble.
When it was over and you had time to reflect on the game, did you actually say to yourself, how good were we? We didn't expect to win by that margin against a side that had, in the first five rounds of the season, had been going okay. We as commentators were surprised. Were you as players surprised by the end result?
Matt, honestly, I don't think we're super surprised. We know what we can do when we play team footy. You know, we like to go in every week thinking that we can put up a good fight and win. And I guess to get it done, you know, 2 weeks in a row. You know, we're happy, but we like to think we can win every week, but obviously that's not going to happen. So, I wouldn't say we were surprised. Yeah, we're just happy.
It was just a completely different West Coast Eagles to the one we've expected and seen over the last few years. As I mentioned at the top of the chat, you've been there now. This is your fifth season. So there's been some dark times. Do you see a bit of light now at the end of the tunnel based on what you produced to your fans on Saturday?
Oh, definitely. I think so, yeah. You know, the belief has always been there, but, you know, we're not shying away from that. Yeah, we've had some rough times, and them rough times just make these wins even more valuable for us. So, yep, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, mate, but, you know, we've still got a long way to go, and we'll keep getting to work.
So what's the plan, Bailey J, when Matt Flynn is fit and comes back into the side?
Yeah, well, the plan leading into the season was going to mean that I played a little bit more forward and come up and played that second ruck role, similar to how Freo have used Jackson and Darcy, maybe a little bit similar to that, but... look, I guess we'll get to that when it comes to it, but at the minute, I'm just taking it week by week.
And during training, of course, you do the ruck work. You've got the midfielders and the people that are in the centre square working together, and one of those is Harley Reid. Have you been able to get the communication happening with the six-gamer?
Oh, definitely. He's a very talented player, so I'm doing my best to try and form a connection and get as many hits down to him, mate, because, you know, if I can put it in his area, I'll let him do the rest. And along with all our other mids there, I'm lucky to be surrounded with heaps of talent in there, you know, Elliot Yeo, Tim Kelly. all the likes. They're amazing players, so yeah, I'm very lucky.
And just a couple of final questions, Bailey. It's interesting you mentioned a couple of experienced players there, and that's what Adam Simpson's been saying, is that the experienced players have come to the party again. You mentioned Elliot Yeo, the Glendenning Allan medalist last week, Tom Barras, who's got a big night tomorrow night at the Tribunal, and then going forward, even defender, of course, McGovern and the others that certainly have been senior players, Jack Darling for many, many years, they all seem to be invested in playing good football for the club and bringing the young players along.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been great, and you know they've been doing this for a long time, and you know it's so valuable to have players like that around the footy club, not only for their strengths on game day, but for guidance for the younger guys. You know, we've got a good balance of youth and experience now, so the more us young guys and the you know the new draftees can pick their brains, you know, the further we're going to go. So, no, it's very good.
Always played footy from a young age. I think you came from the Frankston area, didn't you, in Melbourne?
Yeah, I grew up on the Mornington Peninsula, so a small town called Bitten down there. So, yeah, always played footy from a young age, mate. As soon as I could sign up for Auskick, I was down there, mate. I always loved it. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations. It's interesting, actually, that you made your debut, I think, against Richmond at Carrara Stadium during that COVID year in 2020. And, of course, you returned to the Gold Coast for an important game this weekend. What's the general feeling in the camp? Because the Suns have been a bit unpredictable so far this season.
Yeah, the general feeling's good. They're obviously really talented. They've got a talented list and a new coach. And, you know, they're going to be no pushover. We're going to have our work cut out for us. So, mate, the boys are looking forward to getting over there and getting to work, and I'm certainly excited for the opportunity.
Bailey, Jai Williams, thanks for joining us on the program. You're an exciting prospect. You're doing some great things for the West Coast Eagles, and keep taking a few of those hangers. We love them in the commentary box.
Beautiful, mate. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Good on you, Bailey. That's Bailey J. Williams joining us here on Sports Day WA. Just before we move away from the West Coast Eagles, their injury report has come out, and two key Eagles big men are making pretty strong progress, while also a midfielder has ticked some of the boxes through the concussion protocols and could be available to play Gold Coast on Sunday. Oscar Allen, by the way, is set to resume running in the near future. Ruckman Matt Flynn, who we spoke to Bailey J about, it was integrated into training today, so there'll be a gradual build-up on his physical loading. Luke Williams, as we know, was subbed out of the game against Richmond after that head knock. He'll be available against the Suns if selected. And it appears, just going through the injury list, Oscar Allen now, knee 5 to 7 weeks, the co-captain. Rhett Bazo with his groin, 4 to 6 weeks. Luke Williams, as I mentioned, will undergo a concussion protocol test. Matt Flynn is likely to return within the next month, 4 to 5 weeks. Elijah Hewitt, unfortunately, post-bye with that foot injury. And Cullen Jamieson, with that hamstring, who was a late withdrawal a couple of weeks ago, is still looking at 6 weeks before his return. Give us your thoughts on Harley Reid, likely to be rested this week. Is it the right way to go? 0487 736 736. That's all thanks to the groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. On the text machine, we've got Norm and Cal says, "G'day, Pete." They've sent Harley off to finishing school after his remarks made to David Mundy. After only 6 games, I don't think he has the right to be bragging a plus 350 gamer. But that's the youth of today, isn't it? And no respect for their elders. I didn't actually hear the audio regarding Dave Mundy and Harley Reid. Maybe if someone did, they can entertain us a bit on exactly what the dialogue was. But I must admit, Norm, I haven't actually heard it. Hi, Pete. Caroline Wilson thinks she knows everything, like Kane Corns, unless Harley Reid has an injury. Why rest him now when he's going so well? And also, they've had a pretty stable team each week. They can limit his game time if they have to. So that's Lisa of Ellenbrook, which is a fair comment, actually, Lisa. I don't disagree with those comments at all regarding maybe seeing how the game goes, limit his game time if they're in front rather than just resting him now, where, you know, there's a bit of momentum with the West Coast Eagles, and the last thing they want is to go up to the Gold Coast Suns and maybe put up an inferior performance. Harley Reid is such an important player. We've seen that in the last fortnight, and how he's sort of on the back of him. He brings a lot of the other players into the game as well. So we'll wait and see what transpires regarding that. 0487 736 736. Nat Fyfe, we're going to swing towards the Dockers after the break. Nat Fyfe did speak today, and the two-time Brownlow medalist, no doubt reflecting on what was a pretty poor performance on Saturday night, and where to from here as they await the Western Bulldogs here at Optus Stadium on this Saturday night. We're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years. Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers, and also our friends at Kia. Don't go away. More of Sports Day WA next.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Great to have you coming here on Sports Day WA. Don't forget, tomorrow we're on between 2 and 3. 0487 736 736. Toby Green is still fronting the AFL Tribunal. No news on that. But Jesse Hogan has been cleared to play after his charge was taken to the Tribunal. So he'll be available for this weekend. The mind boggles on how the Tribunal and the match review officer review incidents week in, week out. I did throw out, there was a comment made from Norm regarding the dialogue involving David Mundy and also Harley Reid. They were in conversation on another radio station, I believe, after the Derby. But I didn't know what the dialogue was exactly. But Lisa has got almost a transcript, and she shares that with us here on the program tonight. Lisa, thanks for your time, and thanks for ringing in.
Well, hi, Pete. No problems at all. I just get a bit sick and tired of, you know, there's no sense of humour out there anymore with some of these people, and he's been getting smashed on social media. You know, he wasn't being disrespectful or anything. I listened to you guys calling the game first,
yeah,
and then I flicked it over to 6PR, and yeah, I heard the whole interview. And anyway, when they'd all finished talking to Harley, and Harley just said, David Mundy doesn't like me. Anyway, and then they all started laughing, and David said, but you didn't touch the ball for the first 20 minutes, mate. Like, you know, and that was all it was. There was no disrespect or anything. It was just tongue-in-cheek, and if people are going to get, you know, all riled up about that, like, get a life, please.
Yeah,
like,
no, you know, good call. And you're right, Lise. You're right. He didn't go near the ball. In fact, I said to Scotty Cummings on the call, I said, how many touches has Harley Reid had on the Scarborough Toyota stat sheet? And Scotty said he hasn't touched it yet. So David was right. And to be fair, David, I think, gave him one vote. He was one of the three that voted for the Glendenning Allen Medal, and he gave Harley one vote. So everybody's got an opinion. So that's all it was, Lise.
Yes, that's all it was, Peter. He wasn't being disrespectful or anything, and it was just tongue in cheek, and all the guys that were in the commentary box all laughed, and
they
so
had
did
a chuckle.
David.
Yeah. So what would you do, just quickly before I let you go, would you play him this week against the Gold Coast? You said on the text, take him up there, and if you need to manage him up there, but take him.
Yes, take him. Take him for sure, because we don't know what's going to happen to Tom Barras yet.
Mm.
So, you know, he's 19. Like, they're all full of life, these kids. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it, Lise. Thanks for listening to the program, and thanks for taking the time to give us a call. I appreciate it. It gives us a bit of clarity about that conversation. 0487 736 736. Toby Green, as I mentioned, still no decision yet on the Tribunal. Now, Nat Fyfe, the two-time Brownlow medalist, spoke on behalf of the Frio Footy Club today, and we'll bring you up to date with what he had to say. Firstly, this is Fyfe, his comments on Frio's bad performance against West Coast.
Yeah, we just finished our review, as you said, disappointing loss. But we seem to think that's not reflective of how our season has been going. Derbies are always scrutinised a little bit higher, and particularly ones where there's an expectation that you're going to win. So I understand that things are a bit magnified at the moment, but we look for trends, and our trend so far this season has not been reflective of what that game was. So we'll look to take the learnings and move on quick.
But saying that, the Dockers certainly haven't scored heavily in their last three games. Results of 9 goals against Carlton, 9 goals against Port, and 10 goals against West Coast. Fifey was throwing the question on frustrations in the forward line.
Our forward line mix has been changing every week, so there's some frustrations around our scoring. We want to be able to capitalise more on our entries, and having a rotation of our forwards doesn't allow that synergy to build. So, there's some injury factors that are out of our control, but hopefully we can get some continuity with the six that will allow us to be more predictable with our forward entries and kick scores from that.
And finally, they take on the Western Bulldogs this Saturday night. The Bulldogs on the back end of a thumping of St Kilda come here to Perth chock full of confidence. And this is what Nat Fyfe had to say about the challenge.
I think it's a really big challenge. Their win-loss potentially isn't reflective of how well they're actually going. And they've got some all-Australian midfielders with Bontempelli, Liberatore should come back. McRae, the list goes on. So, yeah, this will be a big challenge for some of our younger midfielders and our midfield in general, but we've got Joel Corey on our side. He was at the Dogs previously. We think this is a challenge we're up for.
Yeah, Joel Corey was at the Dogs previously. Of course, a great player with Geelong, but learnt to all his skills at East Perth back in his early days. Joel Corey, we're talking about Jimmy. Not West Perth, he was at East Perth. 29-6. We've got the teams through for the game tomorrow night. Just repeating, Sports Day WA between 2 and 3 tomorrow, leading in to the run home because of the Richmond and Melbourne game that gets underway at 25 past 5 our time tomorrow. So preview from 5 o'clock straight after the run home. Richmond, Dylan Grimes, Sam Naismith, Jacob Hopper and Sam Banks are in. They've omitted Tyler Sonsi, Kane McAuliffe, Jaden Short is injured, and Jacob Koschitzky has also been omitted. The Demons, on the other hand, they've got the will of the wisp, Kasiah Pickett. He's back in the lineup, as is Bailey Laurie and Daniel Turner. Out goes the West Australian youngster, Colton Tholstrup. He's been omitted, as has Ben Brown, the former North Melbourne forward now at the Demons the last couple of seasons. He's been omitted as well. And Christian Salem, the defender, is injured. So there you go. They're the changes in the teams for the Tigers against the Demons tomorrow night. And Simon Goodwin, the coach of the Demons, spoke on his team's preparation for the Richmond Challenge.
Obviously, it's a long preparation, 13 days into the next game. So as soon as we got back, we got in some really good training. We've had 3 really good sessions on the way back in, ability to train some of the things that we want to improve on. And some of the things that we haven't executed that well in the last few weeks. So, the Brisbane game was a disappointing game. There's no question about that in terms of how we wanted to play, but we've been able to reset ourselves, and hopefully we come out tomorrow night and we're the Melbourne of old and the team that we want to be.
Should be a good game. Anzac Eve, the match between the Demons taking on the Tigers. All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to speak to a gentleman who was heavily involved with the Western Force. And he also was involved heavily at the top of the rugby pyramid with the Australian Rugby Union. But now he is so disenchanted with the way that rugby is going, he has actually formed a group to try at a special meeting of Rugby Australia on Monday night, put forward a motion of no confidence in this current Rugby Australia board. In other words, he wants them to spill. So we're going to speak to West Australian former ARU board member Jeff Stook, who basically resigned during the Super Rugby process when they were keen to throw the Western Force out, remember? And they were successful for a short period of time. Anyway, he's got some of the big names in rugby behind him to try and push this motion of no confidence in the current ARU board. I'm looking forward to this. Jeff Stook will join us on the other side of the break here on Sports Day WA.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Day WA. every morning, I must admit, I go down to my local coffee shop and collect the newspapers. Like, they have a two or three on display there, the West Australian, the Financial Review, and the Australian. And I had a look at the West today and I thought, well, there's nothing much in the West apart from, you know, there's still the wash up on Harley Reid and what's happening with the Eagles and what's happening with the Dockers. There was a couple of other little stories, well, I think one on racing and one a bit about the Glory after, you know, their poor performance at the weekend. But there was nothing really of substance. So then I've picked up the Australian newspaper and on the back page, there's this really strong story about rugby. Now, it was the back page of the Australian newspaper. There wasn't two words written about it in the West. Because what's happening is there almost is a civil war in rugby. A few days ago, Rugby Australia boss Phil Waugh asked for unity in the game. But there is this group that is plotting to oust the entire board at next Monday's annual general meeting. And I believe they've placed advertising in national newspapers calling for support. Now, the man that is one of the powerful figures in this so-called push to look at the current Rugby Australia board is a man that we know very well, Jeff Stook. He's the former chairman of Rugby WA. He was a director of Rugby WA in 1985 and was the chair from 1988 until 2011, as well as serving as chair of the Western Force from 2005 until 2011. Jeff joins us on the program now. Jeff, thanks for your time.
Hi, Peter. Good to hear you.
Tell us about what has been planned. Reportedly, there is a lot of angst within rugby circles, and as far as you're concerned and the group and the ticket that you've put together, there is no confidence that the game is going to progress from here on in. Can you take us through what is going to likely eventuate and you're hoping will eventuate at this annual general meeting on Monday?
Well, what's likely to eventuate and what we'd like to see eventuate is probably two different things, but to give you some background, for a number of years now, rugby in Australia has gone backwards, and this has been reflected probably best by the performance of our national team, but also our Super Rugby teams have also struggled. And over recent times, some of the decisions taken and some of the things that have been done have what we believe have been less than appropriate and not in the interest of the game in Australia. So, like many people, you can have views, you can be complain and so forth, but we as a group felt that something needs to be done. And the first thing we felt was there needed to be a reset of Australian rugby, its priorities and how the game was managed. And to do that, there need to be massive changes at board level. Now, only recently, the previous chair got rolled on the basis of some complaints from some of the member unions. And his colleagues rolled him, so he then resigned. Now, our issue is that he was simply one person on that board, and all these decisions they say were his were in fact endorsed by his board. So the board was responsible for all those things. The other thing that seems to get forgotten, he, as the chairman, was the guy, when he came on board, he managed to secure a sponsor, a major sponsor, which we'd lost when Qantas walked. He also managed to secure a broadcaster. Foxtel had continued their arrangement with the previous administration of Rugby Australia. So something had to happen. And we got together and felt, well, that's the board is the first thing to go, but it's not about us. So our real mandate is to get the member unions or the voting members of Australian rugby to take control of the agenda and for them to decide who they want at the helm. Because right now, I don't believe many of them want the people they have there now. So all the work we've done in recent times has been to provide detailed information about why things are like they are, and ask them to when they get to the opportunity, they get the opportunity at the general meeting to firstly not re-elect three directors up for re-election, but ideally, if that was to happen, that maybe the whole board would go and there could be a complete reset. But in the first instance, the three directors that were there as part of the group that oversaw the game go downhill over the last few years, they'll not be re-elected. So that's what we're aiming to do. As you would expect, over a recent week or so, Rugby Australia board members and others have been on a massive charm offensive, knocking on the doors and visiting all the member unions and super teams, trying to garner their support to support their candidates. There are also some other issues regarding the governance of the game. Like many corporates, they have a nominations committee that determines who the board members will be put forward for election. But when they're put forward for election, you don't get a choice. It's a take it or leave it. So the nominees that are put up, they have to get a two-thirds majority of those voting members and they get elected, but you don't get a choice. They decide. So effectively what's happening now is that the rugby board itself, in reality, determines who they want with them.
So just having a look, you've set this group up called the Support Overdue Australian Rugby Reform Group. And as we mentioned, you're looking at a vote of no confidence in the entire Rugby Australia board on Monday. Now, you'll need seven.
That's the second issue, really.
Yeah.
The first issue is whether or not they re-elect the three that are up for real. Yeah.
So you'll need what, 50% of the 50% of the voting members to go with you on this?
Well, no. With the three up for re-election, all board members have to get 66%.
Right.
So it'd be one third voted against them, they don't get up.
Okay. So
as
who
far
are the...
as the vote of no confidence goes, you require the 50%.
Okay. So with your group, the Support Overdue Australian Reform Group, there's yourself, and I believe there's other, some other big names in rugby that are supporting you.
Well, they are. The group itself, it's got a core of about half a dozen people. But separate to all of this, I was asked in 2020 to chair an organisation called the National Technical Advisory Committee for Australian Rugby. And this was a committee set up quite specifically to look at the coaching, the technical development and the pathways in our game because we were struggling on field. So that group included Nick Farr-Jones, Bob Dwyer, former Wallaby coach, Roger Gould, Wallaby fullback, Grand Slam player, Dick Marks, Barry Honan, and Barry Honan was a Wallaby. Dick Marks was a former national director and a Wallaby, and Wayne Erickson, who was international referee. So for 3 years, we have worked fairly hard and put up recommendation after recommendation to make changes, and basically it's all been met with a dead bat. So 2 weeks ago, all of us had resigned. I, as the chair, resigned, and everyone else has gone too.
You were saying and quoted in the article I read this morning that when you're running things at the Western Force in 2016, super teams received $4.6 million in funding each year. Now they're getting $3.8 million, all while costs have gone up. And you're saying it's a recipe for teams and the competition to go broke.
Correct. Well, the financial model for super teams, given the funding they get from the Australian Rugby, doesn't work. They'll all go broke. Just to give you an idea, the funding from the Australian Rugby Union, it's not as if it's a grant as such. It's the super team's share of broadcasting plus compensation for developing Wallabies and warehousing Wallabies. Because the Wallabies may only play half a dozen games in a year. So most of their rugby is played at the Super Rugby level. So that's what we were getting back in 2000. It was 2006, not 2016. There was an error there. It was 2006 when we set the team up here, and we got 4.6 million. Last year, they got 3.8. So it highlights to you that these financial models just don't work. The crowds are down, of course. Sponsorship is harder to get. So unless they review all of their finances and do a total cut of all the non-essential items and activities and functions, they'll never viable. So to me, the priorities must be to get the community game and your super teams being financially viable. And then that should, if they're strong, that will lead on to, I believe, a successful Wallaby team. So, the other thing is what... Yeah, sorry.
No, go, Jeff.
The other thing I should mention is that what's happened in recent times, a lot of people have said, oh, give these guys a go. You know, they were all there before. They were in key positions before. But what we've seen to date is, and I've expressed it in these terms, they're spending millions of dollars currently on the roof while they're allowing the house and the foundations to crumble.
Yeah.
Now, what I mean by that, they're putting new Wallaby coach, new high performance director, assistant coaches, you name it, all at the top end. But at the bottom end, where you're feeding your players from the community game through your super teams, it's underfunded, under-resourced. The quality of the coaching isn't what it should be. We'll call it coaching education. The pathways aren't appropriate. We've got kids being put into academies and they're not playing any club rugby, so they're not getting the hard yards that players of the past used to get when they developed into internationals.
So finally, Jeff, how confident are you, if you are confident, that you'll get your way and your group, the Rugby Reform Group, will get their way at the AGM on Monday?
I suppose it could be considered a long shot. But keeping in mind that we're not after positions ourselves. We've put up what could be done, and that is that if they remove the board, they put an interim board in for 12 months with one representative of New South Wales, one from Queensland, one from the other states, one from the super teams, and two others selected by those four to look at a total review of the game, both on-field and off-field. And so we have offered them a way forward. Whether or not they embrace it, I don't know. As I said earlier, there's a lot of charm offensive around right now and trying to win the hearts and minds and promising different things. So who knows how it will go. But our view is, well, if they don't take the advice and do that, it's on the head of the voting members. The game doesn't go any further.
Good on you, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time. We'll watch it very closely on Monday, and we could very well be in touch with you again next week. Thanks for your time this evening.
Thanks, Peter. Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. Good on you. That's the good oil on the rugby fight at the moment for Cobram Estate, Premier Australian Extra Virgin Olive Oil. And it's just interesting, while I was talking to Jeff, details came out regarding the Wallabies versus South Africa match, which is happening here at Optus Stadium on Saturday the 17th of August. And pre-sale for the tickets happened tomorrow from 10 a.m. right through until Wednesday the 1st of May. Pre-sale tickets for the Wallabies against South Africa, and the general public sale for tickets are from Wednesday the 1st of May at 1 p.m. So it's a Wallabies against a Springbok. Thanks to Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. It's going to be a bit of a bum fight, let me tell you, at Rugby Australia's annual general meeting on Monday. Just before I go, Tyre Power's power-up sale is now on. Just a couple of other bits and pieces in sport that have been happening, just to bring you up to date. Mitch Marsh, the T20 World Cup campaign of likely Australian captain Mitch Marsh is not expected to be impacted by the hamstring injury that is taking a little longer to heal. And basically, it's ended his IPL campaign. Now, Marsh won't return to India for the remainder of the competition as he completed his recovery here in Perth, having suffered that slight tear in his right hamstring after playing just four games for the Delhi Capitals. He flew back to Perth on April the 12th to consult Cricket Australia's medical staff, and a decision on his possible return to the IPL was delayed at the time to give him adequate time to recover before being reassessed. But with Dele have been advised that he won't be returning to the IPL, and they'll save him for the T20 World Cup. So that's the latest there on Mitch Marsh. All thanks to Tyre Power. Visit your local Tyre Power store today for a free tyre safety inspection. There are over 50 stores across WA. Not forgetting tomorrow, Sports Day WA between 2 and 3, leading into the run home with Hayes and Mardo. Thanks to Connor. Thanks to Jimmy. And tomorrow we'll preview the LIV Golf Tournament in Adelaide, and we'll also preview a big Anzac Day match in the Waffle.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.